Hello and welcome to Cannon Fodder, the remote edition, as Brian Hedger calls it, the garage band edition. Today is Saturday, the 21st of March, 2020. Please excuse the sound quality. Hedge is maybe the Podfather 3, but he's no Podfather 2. And Podfather 1 is in like Joe Pesci's trunk, I think. So he doesn't even count anymore. I'm Mike Arace here on the east side of Columbus. And way out in Granville, where this is being recorded, somehow crushed into the ether and eventually broadcast at dispatch.com, is Brian Hedger with any number of devices that are squeaking in the background. Also with me is, we're going to have a representative fan here, although he runs a little hotter than most fans. This is one of my sons. This is Owen Arace. He's 21 years old, just about, and he's a junior in college, and he watches every single Blue Jackets game illegally on the interwebs. So, Owen, say hello to everyone out there.
Hello, and I'd just like to mention that I watch every Blue Jackets game legally through Fox Sports Ohio.
That's right. That's his story, and he's sticking to it. Hedge, how you making out there in Granville?
Well, just passing the time, just like everybody else, you know, playing Yahtzee and everything else, like everyone, you know. I don't know. I'm bored, man, except for I've been writing some hockey stories, which is good. Trying to keep my mind off the, you know, pandemic, even though pretty much every 10 minutes or so I'm checking for updates, which I probably shouldn't be doing. But I've been doing that as well. Speaking of the pandemic stuff, we should get a little plug in here for Dispatch.com's coverage of it.
Wait a minute. Right? Hedge, did you just hear your segue there, speaking of the pandemic?
That's a pretty
bad, a little clunky.
You have
to work on that. But anyway, go ahead.
Hey, I'm not one for I'm not the best segwayer as it is. But yeah, you know, we should get a plug in for that, because the Dispatch, if you are in tune for news on the pandemic that is spreading across the world here, especially, you know, if you want local news, local coverage of it, the Dispatch has been doing a fantastic job of it. All those stories on the news side for COVID-19 are free, I believe. We've lifted the paywall on those as a public service, so you should go check that out. But for this podcast, we're here to talk hockey, because what else we got to talk about, right?
Well, you should spend the next week working on your production skills, because you have the time. But that's neither here nor there. I'm kidding, Hedge. You're the best.
That's a good point. And I plan to do that, to be honest with you.
I'm just kidding. That was a gentle chiding. Didn't you? Just kidding.
All right, we're going to cut out here for just a second and hear from our sponsor. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
It's our crest, our coat of arms, and what it means to wear it.
Binsky will take a tap and a hit for Nudavar out to the neutral zone, finding Foligno.
It's when we dig deep.
Foligno's got help on the rush.
At the right moment.
And he drops it back for Dubinsky over to Savard. He shoots and scores!
It's our blue, and out of our blue, we rise.
Head to BlueJackets.com for tickets, news, and more.
Let's start at the beginning of this TikTok, as it were. It was Tuesday, the 10th of March, earlier this month, 12 days ago now, when the MLS with the NBA, the NHL, and the and someone else was in there.
The NFL.
The NFL was in there. They issued a joint statement saying they're closing all locker rooms and clubhouses to non-essential personnel. So essentially barring 50 or 60 people from the locker rooms because of their worry about the pandemic. And just like professional sports leagues do, they proceeded on Tuesday night to put 300,000 people in arenas, apparently not too worried about the coronavirus epidemic. On Wednesday, the 11th, Rudy Gobert, the Utah Jazz center, was the first American professional athlete to test positive for the coronavirus. That night of Wednesday, the 11th, the NBA called off its season, or at least paused it, shut it down, as it were. And I got to stop saying as it were. In any case, on Thursday, the next day, the 12th, the NHL, Major League Soccer, and Major League Baseball shuttered until further notice, and the NCAA canceled all winter tournaments and their spring season. So smarter people prevailed, or the government stepped in or something. But anyway, the NHL season is paused. And when it paused, the Blue Jackets were holding the second wild card in the Eastern Conference with 81 points. And the standings in the East were as follows. Boston with 100, Tampa Bay Lightning with 92. And I'll just finish out the Atlantic, Toronto with 81. In the Metro, the top three slots were Washington with 90, Philadelphia with 89, Pittsburgh with 86, and then the wild cards, Carolina won the number one wild card with 81, Jackets number two wild card with 81 points, and lurking were the Islanders with 80, the Rangers with 79, Florida with 78, and falling out of the race there, Montreal at 71. So really tight, even tighter out west. Wild card one, Winnipeg with 80 points. Wild card two, Nashville with 78. And then Vancouver with 78, Minnesota with 77, Arizona with 74. Stacked up there when the season shut down. And Brian, rightly or wrongly, people's thoughts immediately turned to, as the league's thoughts did, because they talked out loud about this without offering any details. But it was, okay, what do you do when you restart? When do you restart? And what did that look like? Because there were some interesting theories about a possible postseason put forth at that time. I think people realized right away that resumption of the regular season was only a remote possibility, and that they might play some kind of play-in tournament when they did resume as part of a preliminary playoff round.
Yeah, when this first started, when the hiatus, pause, break, whatever you want to call it, started, you know, they started, I mean, they didn't know, but they ended up throwing out, you know, at least 2 months, right? Like, it's going to take at least a month and a half, 2 months to, you know, and then we'll reassess. So I think at that point, they're looking at it saying it was early March, so that would have been April, May. You know, maybe you could have finished some of the regular season games, at least, you know, to give some teams a fair shot, more fair shot, rather than just going by a point percentage. But now they're looking at this thing and saying, look, it could be even longer. You know, like, what if they're not able to get back until like July, like early July? So then they're looking at it saying, okay, then stuff started to come out. Like, how about this? How about we, like you said, let's go into, I mean, I've heard everything from what, a 24 team playoff, you know, somehow with, you know, three game series or single elimination or something to get things rolling, and then, you know, see where it goes from there. I mean, there's all kinds of different ideas. I guess I just look at it and I say, you know, the worst case scenario for the Blue Jackets, if this season were to restart, and there's no guarantee that this season is even going to restart, but if it does, the worst case scenario for the Blue Jackets would absolutely be if they just decide to go point percentage at the break, wherever it stopped, because the Jackets are out of a playoff position, even though they have one more point than the Islanders. The Islanders have 80 points. As you said, the Jackets have 81. The Jackets have played two more games, so that's the lower point percentage, and they'd be out of the playoff and they'd be done for the season. And that'd be a shame.
Oh, that, you know what? Hedge, let me just cut in there. Those early reports really scared superfan Mrs. A-Race. Oh, my goodness.
Really?
She was inconsolable. She was like, call 40, ask him what's going on.
Yeah, well, he's dialed in. But, you know, exactly. You know, that would have been really bad. So I don't think they really know yet exactly what they want to do. I think a lot of it's going to depend on time. So if they can get back earlier, I would think that they'd want to at least play out some sort of either the regular season or some kind of play-in format that is not going to exclude a team like the Blue Jackets that fought so hard all season to try and get into a playoff spot. I think they're going to try and, you know, try and at least give those teams a shot. You know, but then you're talking, let's say it's July, right? Let's say they get back in July for training camps and that kind of like little mini training camps to get the guys back in shape and all that kind of stuff. They're talking about playing in August, September.
Tell you what, Hedge, let me, we'll get back to this in a minute because it's fascinating. It's something that's going to be a point of discussion for us and everyone else for some time here going forward, an indeterminate amount of time. Let me just, before we get back to that, let me just circle back to the pause itself before we get too far ahead of ourselves.
Okay.
You talked to Nick Foligno about how it went down from a player's perspective. Can you give us a little background or insight as to how that stuff went down when they did pause things on last Thursday?
Absolutely. We'll go to the night before, actually. That would be the Wednesday. The game was supposed to be on a Thursday at Nationwide Arena.
The Penguins in town.
I mean, that was a big game for actually both teams, but more so for the Blue Jackets, obviously. I mean, it's a divisional game. I mean, at one point, John Tortorella was saying, hey, you guys keep saying that, you know, there's teams on our heels, and that's true, but we're actually looking up the standings because we're seeing if we can catch somebody. The Penguins, I don't think, had been playing very well before the break as well. So, you know, that was kind of a big game, divisional, and so they're looking forward to that from that perspective. The night before, I remember I actually texted a player. We were kind of going back and forth a little bit, and the first thing he said was, see you tomorrow. Actually, the last thing he said was something like, yeah, see you tomorrow in front of an empty stadium or something like it was on their minds the night before, like, because that came down saying, hey, like you said, the Rudy Gobert thing happened that I think it was either that night or the night before. And basically,
it was Wednesday the 11th when Gobert was diagnosed.
Yes, and so it was just kind of like, okay, I guess we're going to play in front of empty arenas. And, you know, like guys were trying to wrap their minds around that. I mean, it was a weird time because, like Foligno told me, he's like, look, this is a huge game for us. It's a rivalry game for us. We don't like the Penguins. They don't like us. It's a divisional game. It's huge for the playoff thing, and there's going to be nobody in the stadium, in the arena, to play in front of. So what's that atmosphere going to be like? I mean, they had a whole day basically to think about what that's going to be like playing in that atmosphere, and they were trying to wrap their minds around it. So they show up, they go to the arena for an optional morning skate, but a mandatory team meeting that they were going to have around 10, I think it was 10:30 a.m., 10 o'clock, around there. And so I guess about 3 minutes before the coaches are supposed to come in for the team meeting, somebody comes in, I don't know who exactly it was, but somebody came in and told them, hey guys, we're not going to be able to have the meeting. You guys need to go home, and nobody can be here, kind of a thing. And so, you know, now it shifts into that, and immediately guys start thinking like, okay, I guess we're done then, you know, and there you go. So they all start leaving, and Nick said he doesn't remember a group of hockey players leaving a rink faster, and not because they're excited, but because they're all just like, what is going on? And so they all just filed out of Nationwide Arena as quick as they could. And like Nick was saying, he goes, you know, immediately you start getting phone calls and you have no answers, you know, for people saying, hey, what's going on with the season, that kind of thing. You have no answers, just like everybody else. And so you're kind of left in the dark if you're one of the players. And then, then it comes down, the season's going to be on break, on pause, hiatus, whatever. And then the next day, they get a call, or they get an email from the league recommending that all players self-quarantine for 14 days through March 27th. So, the hope for the players is, like, at least at March 27th, maybe they can reassess things as far as trying to plot something forward. I mean, anything. They're looking for any information they can get.
The idea with the self-quarantine from the league, presumably, is that if they quarantine, that means they haven't been exposed and they can report back. You know, subsequently, they were allowed to go home, wherever their off-season homes are, including overseas. Now, man, I don't know how that's all going to play out. I'm dubious in my thoughts of whether they can even resume.
Yeah.
But it was a strange scene. I think the Jackets were among the first to talk about an empty building, because the governor here in Ohio, Mike DeWine, was decreeing that large gatherings were verboten. At that time,
Gobert got the positive result.
Right, that's when they're talking about an empty building. And at this particular point, Owen here, being a brilliant young college student, crossed an international border during a pandemic because he had Montreal Canadiens tickets. Owen, what was it like up there in Montreal?
It was at a time where, so I was in Montreal and Canada. I was in Toronto and Montreal that week. So the week of the Thursday when all the league shut down, that night, that Thursday night, I was supposed to see Montreal versus Buffalo, a brilliant game. It would have been, probably.
Hey, you had Jack Eichel there.
Between two titans of the Atlantic Division. But it just wasn't.
It just stopped.
We were planning on going to the game, me and my friends, and then everything shut down. We just didn't go. We didn't get refunds because we bought our tickets through Ticketmaster. There wasn't any big spectacle or nothing in the street that I could report on, but it just, we were supposed to go and then we weren't.
Did it hit you then?
I guess it was then.
Because you watch hockey every day.
Yeah, literally every day.
And you get a pandemic once in your lifetime, maybe. I mean, it's the first in mine, but you do have to keep this perspective. You know, I've been writing what we're calling Johnny's Bunker Report every day. John Forslund, the play-by-play voice of the Carolina Hurricanes, and the number two play-by-play man for NBC Sports NHL coverage. He slept in the room that was just vacated by Rudy Gobert in Detroit, and he was pulled off the Carolina bus. Actually, there weren't too many people on. He was told to stay on, and then they took him and that bus out of there. He was deemed fit to fly home and did in a quarantine type situation. But he's under self-quarantine at his home in North Carolina through Sunday. And he's been talking to me once or twice a day for something that I've been writing about him, the Bunker Report in the Dispatch. You can find that on page 2 and at dispatch.com. And Hedge, you know, we'll get into it in a minute, but he's not.
Has he been tested?
He doesn't think they should resume. And his thoughts on that. He was talking last week, and he's plugged in, and all he does is interviews and talk to all his friends in the league and elsewhere, but because he's in his basement sequestered. And, you know, last Monday he was talking about potential playoff formats, and he was figuring that, you know, okay, in the East you drop Ottawa and who else is down there? And Detroit, and you have a play-in tournament, and the Jackets will be in it. They don't get pushed out on points percentage. They're in the play-in round, and let's go. They've had a great year despite all the injuries, or because of all the injuries, they've persevered. They deserve a shot, just like a lot of other teams. Let's go. A week later, he's like, why start up? I mean, he's been sitting in his basement watching cable news, doing interviews, and he can't see how or why you'd restart the season. And so, anyway, for more on his thoughts, and I tend to agree with him, what we're facing here is much bigger than an NHL season or an NBA season or anything like that. It's like, his thing is, these guys need a break. You can't bring them back and then pause it again, bring it back. What if you bring them back and there's a positive test? How deep do you want to go with this? Okay, as you said, Hedge, if you go into September, when's your free agent season? You'd have to pause in October. What are you doing then? At this point, for the player's safety and for their health and for the game, because hockey's not a game where you can just flip a switch and restart it. As Torch would tell you, there's too much teamwork involved, and we're all trying to stay above the puck now, to use a very clunky joke. What I'm saying is, he's really, really questioning whether you should even start. And his thoughts, as he's watched news from all over the world over the past week, sitting in his basement, is you shouldn't. You know, you should. But anyway,
to play devil's advocate here really quick, though, maybe not even devil's advocate, but to give maybe what the league is looking at and why they're maybe holding out some hope to finish this is not just because of the long-standing tradition of giving out a Stanley Cup, because they didn't give one out in 05, right? So like, there's precedent there for that. I think it's more about just you know, trying to, like, when is the good time? When is the best time to come back? If this thing does last 18 months, which is what some people are saying it could take at the soonest to get at the earliest to get an actual vaccine approved and get one that works and that kind of thing. I mean, that's a year and a half from now. So do you start to see, like, do you wait a year and a half until everyone gets vaccinated? And then when you start, like, when do you miss a year and a half or maybe 2 years because of this? I mean, it's an interesting question, you know, like, if you wait this whole thing out and then you get into this, like, so Nick Foligno is what, 32 years old? Something like that?
Yeah.
You wait two seasons, he's going to be 34. And then he's got, like, however many, you know, and he hasn't been training. I mean, I'm sure he's been training. He's got a gym in his house, and he's going to stay in shape. But, I mean, 34 versus 32 is still a thing, you know? And I'm just using him as an example. There's other guys that are going to age up, too, that are going to have contracts. I mean, this is all – there's a lot of branches to this thing that – I mean, we're just kind of starting to see the tip of the iceberg, I think.
I think you're absolutely right, because once again, what do you do with the draft? What do you do with the free agent season? You know, Owen would like to see the Jackets in the lottery.
Sure. Why not? You know?
Well, but seriously, what do you do with any of these things? It's a conundrum. One thing Johnny pointed out, and I encourage folks to go to dispatch.com and check out his thoughts and how they've evolved, and about what it's like to be self-quarantined in your own house. Johnny's is a great guy. He's a fascinating guy. He's uproariously funny. And he's very intelligent and extremely sober about all of this.
Yeah.
Check out Johnny's Bunker Report. I think we've written one every day for the last week, and the last one will be probably Tuesday's paper or Monday's or Tuesday's paper, but they're in every day. And you're right. It's crazy. One of the things he did point out was that, you know, what if you come back in July or August and there's a positive case? You know, what do you do then? And it's true.
And they've already had one positive case. We've already had one with the Ottawa Senators, an undisclosed player, has tested positive.
Right, right. So we'll leave that for next week when your production skills are more polished, and we'll circle back to this season. We should cover some of this area.
Selfish plug here really quick. Sorry to interrupt. Selfish plug. I also talked to Nick Foligno about the same thing. He's been under self-quarantine. I think he's left his house. He's self-quarantined, so he can leave his house. But he's only left one time to get groceries and gasoline, and that was about 2 days ago. Otherwise, he's been acting as principal, teacher, lunch man, you name it, janitor for his daughter, Milana, homeschool like everybody else. He's got two young boys as well, so I wrote a story about that, about just basically what the Jackets are doing, and that's going to run tomorrow. Yeah, that's going to run tomorrow. So anyway, selfish plug there, but yeah, we got all kinds of good stuff at dispatch.com, to kind of take your mind off it and give other angles of the situation. But anyway, yes, let's get back to the season for sure.
We'll circle back to the season, and as a segue, since we're so good at segues,
yes,
Owen's got a segue. Owen has a trivia question.
I have a question for Owen after he's done.
All right, well, let him ask his trivia question.
All right, Owen, ask your trivia question.
All right, who finished with more points, Boone Jenner or Alexander Wennberg? That's the question.
Oh, wow, that's a good one.
Battle of middle six and air quote centers.
Oh, you're so mean, but also right. You know what? I'm going to go with Boone.
You would be right. In 13 more games played, Boone Jenner has two more points, 24 points, compared to Alexander Wennberg's 22.
And Wennberg was on fire.
Wennberg was coming on, people. Wennberg was coming on. He was coming back from the whatever injury it was.
All right, Owen, let me ask you this from your perspective. What did you think of this season to date?
This season to date has been sort of a conundrum because on paper, even without all the injuries, that's a whole other thing. But on paper, this team reminded me a lot going into the season of the Minnesota Wild teams of the past few years that could get into the playoffs, you know, maybe win a round, but they would never go far. They would always be there every year, but just the talent on the roster was not enough to maybe get over that hump to being a contender. So that's what, for going into this season, that's what these Blue Jackets felt like. And I think that sort of analysis got thrown out the window with all the injuries this year, because then it created sort of this culture of, you know, we got to play as hard as we can the next game and try and get like 2 points.
Block more shots.
We got, our starting goalie's injured. Let's get Elvis in here and he can have like 6 shutouts in a row.
Quick sticks.
Oh, Jacob Lilia and Stefan Matteau and Nathan Gerby and Kevin Stenlund are going to come in and they're going to save our team. You know, we're half our team's an AHL team every other night, but
they still
gonna
win.
You know, keep keep battling with all these teams and fight for the playoffs. And so I think a lot of that has to do with Tortorella and his abilities as a motivator. So as a fan, it was redeeming to see that sort of culture be present, because for much of this franchise's existence, it was not present at all. No one on this team has coasted this year, and it's definitely been a difficult year just with all the injuries and all that.
Full marks for overachievement. Hedge, what did you say?
Well, I was going to say, actually, I'm glad. I mean, there's a lot of good points brought up there, Owen, and that last one about Tortorella, I think that's a huge one. I really don't think you can overstate that one, because when you're in that kind of situation, I mean, that we've talked about it all season, right? We've sent Mike, we've back and forth sent the little tank pictures out and all that stuff, only half joking, because every time it looked, I was like, okay, just tank and try and get as high of a draft pick as possible. And while we're saying that, the coaching staff's like, yeah, I don't care, we lost Seth Jones, okay, whatever, if we lost Zach Werenski, all right, whatever, we just keep going. I mean, this thing could have gone off the rails bad at a number of different times. Just a lot of different times. And instead of, not only did they keep it on the rails and just kind of muddle along, they went 19-2-5 in 26 games for 2 months with basically half a roster. That's unbelievable. And so I think when you look at that, the only way you can do that is by kind of marshaling together, banding together, however you want to say it. There has to be one central guy who sort of gets everyone on the same page, and that was Tortorella. And even though he doesn't, he hates talking about himself, and all these guys do, he does. I don't know, will they hand out awards? We don't know. But if they were, I would think you'd have to think of him as a Jack Adams candidate this year for the job that he did. This would be like playing a game of poker, getting a hand of nines and tens and just running the table on people, that's the closest thing I can even think of it. Is just bluffing the hell out of people and still winning and staying in a playoff spot. I thought that was impressive. Owen, I have a question for you. My question was, what were you doing in Montreal to watch Buffalo and the Canadiens? Is your friend from Buffalo?
No. This was completely my idea. I have a small bucket list objective to visit every NHL team's building at some point before I die. Uh-huh. And I was going to cross the Bell Center off my list.
How old are you now?
I'm 20, about to be 21.
And it doesn't matter whether it's Jackets or not. You're going to go to go.
No, I just want to see. We were in Canada anyway for a planned spring break trip, and that was our last day there. And I said, let's see a hockey game.
You went to Canada for spring break.
Yeah.
You really are an A-race, aren't you?
Yeah, it's a brilliant young man.
I love it.
Hedge, I was able to, just before that last week, when all this stuff really came to the fore, when the season was halted, just prior to that, I did a piece, given that I'm a troglodyte when it comes to advanced metrics, I'm a wins, loss, points, and goal differential kind of guy. And that goal differential, when you get down to it, is the true measure of a playoff team. You can break it down anywhere else after that, but if you're plus, you're in for all practical purposes. And I went and ran some numbers, and this is a piece that ran, I believe, on Sunday the 9th, something like that. And since 2000-2001 season, the Jackets first, so over the span of the life of the Blue Jackets to this point, 18 seasons, there have been 20 minus teams out of 288 playoff teams. 20 minus teams.
Wow.
Two of them have won a round, and two others have won two rounds and made it to the conference finals. But of this group of 20 minus teams to make the playoffs, 17 coaches, 8 Jack Adams Awards, and 9 Stanley Cups among those coaches. And only one coach has taken, during this span, 3 negative teams to the playoffs, 3 minus goal differential teams to the playoffs. And there's my trivia question for you, Hedge. Who is it?
It's not John Tortorella, is it?
It certainly is. It's John Tortorella. Claude Julien has done it twice. Torts has done it 3 times.
I'm 2 for 2, by the way, in these trivia questions.
Yeah, you're on fire. You're going to get a door prize.
That's right.
But that's, before the season paused, that's the way I was looking at this thing. I was breaking down the schedules that were left for teams, and I was going Torts, if you're going to pick one coach to get a minus team in the playoffs, and if this team is anything, they're minus. I mean, they got back to minus seven, but at one point in December, they were minus 20. And if there's a coach that could have done something to get them in the playoffs, or could have carried this team into the playoffs or coached them into the playoffs, it's this guy here in Columbus. And when you think of, when I was thinking of it in those terms, is you're going like, okay, let's say he whips this nag down the stretch and gets him into the playoffs. And at that point, you're looking at maybe Seth Jones is back, maybe Oliver Bjorkstrand's back, maybe who else am I thinking of, Owen?
Cam Atkinson.
He's shaking his head.
I think Bjorkstrand had surgery, didn't he?
He did. He wasn't gonna be back until late April, so they would have probably had to get to the second round if I had to guess that correctly. But Jones was definitely planning on returning, like, you know, maybe last game of the regular season, maybe last two games of the regular season. He was thinking that he might be about a week ahead in his recovery, so he was going to try and come back. Mm-hmm. Definitely for the first round.
All around, it's really an extraordinary effort by a team that led the league with 419 man games lost to injury. I mean, they were looking at something close to 500. They've led the league once before with 500 plus, and suffice that year, they didn't get in the playoffs. But it was a remarkable thing they had going. Now it's all paused, and it should be. And, you know, I'm kind of with Johnny Forslund on this. We should all sit back and see how this develops. And not until things are clear should they get a resumption going and figure things out from there.
I agree. I mean, you need to figure out – you can't rush back. You know, just like what John Forslund was saying, I mean, you rush back, and then there's like a, you know, one or two or three guys, you know, test positive. Now you've got other guys who've been exposed to them in games, in the same building, that kind of thing. And then, you know, now it's, you know, you have to account for that. So then you probably have to shut down again. What good is that going to do to come back for a game or two and then shut down? So it's going to be really interesting, because I have seen, I mean, I alluded to at the beginning of this podcast, I've been paying attention to a lot of news developments and projections and experts and those kind of things about the pandemic and how it may play out. I saw one that said that, you know what, we may get over that hump. You know how everyone's talking about flatten the curve, which is exactly what we need to be doing. But it doesn't, like, flattening the curve doesn't lessen the number of people who are projected to get this virus, this disease. It just flattens it out. I mean, that's the thing. You don't have this giant spike. So even when that in itself delays the time it's going to take for everyone to get it, right? And now, even if you didn't do that and you had that massive spike that we always see in the graph, the huge one, and then it goes down, and everyone points at the down point like, well, that's the herd immunity point. Well, you don't know that. Like, we don't know that that's the herd immunity point. And it could go back up again. You know, if you haven't reached herd immunity at that point, it could go back up. So what that means is they were saying we may have like a month or two where there's no problems and we're not getting any new cases, that kind of thing. And all of a sudden it starts back up again in a month or two.
Right.
So, okay, so you bring the season back and then a month later you got to stop again. What good does that do anybody, you know?
I'll say two things, Edge, stuff that I've been covering over these last couple of weeks. And one is that, from a hockey perspective, and this is another, and just leaving the, let's see what happens with the pandemic, but just from a pure hockey perspective, another point that John Forslund had, which I found fascinating, is this is not a sport we can just pick up off the street and start playing again.
No.
And so much like picking up after the lockout in 2012, 2013, this is not going to look anything like when they do restart it. It's not going to look anything like what the season looked like previously.
No.
For instance, Tuukka Rask was having a tremendous season. Do we know for sure if he comes back and is in rhythm right away? Teams that were playing well, do they pick right up where they left off? Probably not. I mean, it's going to be disconnected from what happened previously. And the other point I have, and, you know, I'm knocking wood over here, but having recently read September 1918 War Plague in the World Series, and this was a couple of weeks ago before everything shut down, the 1918 Spanish flu went away in the summer, and it came back, sparked up again in Boston in a more virulent form in the fall. In fact, Babe Ruth and the Red Sox and the Chicago Cubs were on the same train rolling back to Fenway Park to finish up the World Series that year, when people just started dropping dead at the Navy Yard and at Fort Devon, and then were being mustered out for the war. And of course, there is a difference there. Medicine was different then. There was a war going on. There was a lot of censorship, and plus, you know, what was going on in the trenches, and so on and so on. It's different now, but we have to keep in mind that viruses, they migrate. It'll be heading south for the winter, and for their winter, and perhaps reappearing a la 1918 here in the fall. There's a certain possibility of that. Where we are with the vaccine and all these other things that the government is taking measures for to mitigate all this, it remains to be seen. Again, different situation. But that 1919 Stanley Cup, and as you mentioned, in 05, the lockout year, they didn't award the cup. The previous time that happened was 1919, when Montreal played Seattle in the Stanley Cup final, and that series was halted 2-2 when basically the entire Montreal Canadiens team got ill with the flu, and one of their players died. So
that wasn't the Seattle Krakens, was it?
It was not. It was not. They were the Metropolitans.
Okay, there we go. Why don't they just go back to Metropolitans? That can be a discussion for another podcast. But anyway.
I think there's a New York National League baseball club that might stand
the Mets?
In their way.
But just don't call them the Mets. Call them the Metros.
We're just talking out loud. We're not saying anything definitive here. We're just trying to. I'm not a medical guy. I'm not a genius, and you guys know that. It's just fascinating, the history, and we're at a point of history now where we have to really pay attention. You know, you don't need me to tell you that. At this point, when I'm rambling like this, and Owen's got nothing more to say, well, he probably does. Owen, you got anything else? No, he doesn't.
No.
He's not the best color.
Owen's got to get back on his laptop or a game somewhere and kind of kill a few hours, you know?
Oh, they're gaming hard here, Hedge.
Of course.
Hedge, you want to end with anything here before we sign off?
Just stay, you know, hate saying stay safe, right? Because you can't really, the only thing you can do is stay at home during this whole thing. So hopefully everyone's being responsible and doing that same thing. We're all in the same boat. And thank you for listening to us. And hopefully we can kind of take your mind off of things a little bit for a while and talk a little hockey. I enjoyed this.
All right, great. And we'll get back to this next week, depending on your production skill set. Thanks for doing this.
No worries.
We appreciate it. That's at Brian Hedger. I'm at Michael A-Race1, and I'm thinking of jumping back on Twitter in these times. I've taken a hiatus. It's been glorious.
Just like the NHL.
Now's the time. Yeah, maybe jump back on. And for Owen A-Race, thanks for joining us. That's it for Cannon Fodder this week on March the 21st, 2020. Hedge, blow us out of here.